OTB Sports Radio.
This Sunday on OTB Sports Radio, we're bringing you an exclusive first listen of a special interview with Muhammad Ali's former business manager, Gene Kilroy. The last survivor from Ali's inner circle joined myself, Shane Hannan, for an hour full of great insight and never-before-told stories, such as this from just minutes before the rumble in the jungle when Ali fought George Foreman.
Ali had no fear.
And the time Ali went looking for Joe Frazier.
Ali gets out of the car, the cops said, "Where do you think you're going?" He said, "I'm looking for Joe Frazier. Where's Joe Frazier?"
Hear it first this Bank Holiday Sunday at 7 p.m. exclusively on OTB Sports Radio. Listen on offtheball.com or download the Go Loud app.
The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM.
With Aviva, Ireland's largest insurer, celebrating 10 years of iconic sporting moments at the Aviva Stadium.
Michael Breen, Tip Hurler, is with us. How are you, Michael?
Not too bad, now, Niall, and yourselves.
All good. So what's going on here? You're doing a lap of Ireland with Pieta House for your club.
Yeah, so it's a community-wide effort. So basically, the idea is to do 3,433 kilometres as a community. So that's either running, walking, or cycling, a full lap of Ireland to, you know, also raise money for Pieta House. And I suppose the idea of having kind of the variables of running, walking, and cycling is that everybody can get involved, you know, from the juvenile club right up to, you know, parents and, you know, anyone else who wants to get involved. So it's all inclusive, and it's creating a bit of enjoyment for people as well, a bit of competition too.
What section are you doing?
We've completed one full lap on day 9, which was last Wednesday, and we're going back down the way now. So we're currently down around Tralee, down around the Kerry West Coast, so on our virtual map.
Not a bad part of the world to be in when you're cycling out there. How does it feel actually to be back out there, having not played a high octane game of hurling for a while?
It's not bad. It's nice to have, I suppose, a different type of focus. You know, I suppose when you're in the middle of a high octane season with Tip, you've your own goals and kind of you've collective goals as well. And you're always, you know, it's a different type of pressure. Whereas when you've time to yourself, then it's kind of, you know, you kind of want to work on the things that you've always, I suppose, put off and thought about doing. In a high season, but it's nice. It's different, so it's a different challenge for us.
How did you adjust to the process of having the title defence season taken away from you? Because I know it's a big thing for people in Tip to be able to back up an unbelievable year like last year, and I'm sure it's been something personally for Liam Sheedy and to a man in your squad. This year was going to be a big year to prove that you can do back to back.
Well, yeah, of course. We don't know what's off yet.
True.
I suppose we haven't been given any, I suppose, you know, confirmation that that's going to be the case. But we'll play it by ear now. Keep looking after ourselves and just be ready for whenever it does kick off, because, like, everybody's in the same boat. We're listening to, you know, the likes of Tony Hoolan and, you know, kind of hanging off every word that Leo Varadkar says every couple of weeks. So, you know, that's literally all we can do. And, you know, you'll be talking to, I suppose, colleagues from different counties and stuff as well. And, you know, they're in the same boat. So it's no different for everyone here. And, like, if you were to, like, you see the likes of the Premier League coming back, but it is hard when you have, I suppose, doctors working the front line and also playing the GA. So, like, where do you find the balance? But as I said, you just focus on yourself and try to keep yourself in some bit of shape that you're able to perform and you can go back as well. So, that's kind of it, you know.
Owen mentions, Michael, about the, you know, the back-to-back aspect and the importance of doing it. He's obviously coming from a Kerry background, so it's there's something intrinsic in Kerry people in doing back-to-back and more than that. Like, it's the 60s since Tipperary has done back-to-back All-Ireland titles, and there's obviously been, like, the incredible success even over the last decade between 2010, and then obviously you were involved in 2016 and then last year as well. People often speak about the difficulty of putting that back-to-back, specifically in relation to the Tipperary Hurlers, and you've been there now, obviously. Obviously didn't get there in 17, and as Owen says, the capacity to maybe do this back-to-back. Like, is the difficulty of that just the difficulty of doing it, or, like, how hard is it, I suppose, once you've done that thing, to maintain the hunger? To, I mean, even if you look at 1A this season, like, you haven't been that far off at the table. Probably it's been fairly unfair to, I suppose, where Tipperary been at already this season. But how hard is it to back up having done it from a Tipperary hurling point of view?
Well, it's hard for any team, I suppose, especially this day and age. Like, you've so many teams at the top of their game right now. You know, you've, this was Galway, Limerick, Clare, Cork, Waterford. You know, everybody is just, they're chomping at the bit, and they're putting massive resources into it. Like, so, you know, for us, I suppose it's about, you know, you're trying to win every game. You know, first aim, win the first game of Munster, because, you know, if you lose that, you're under a bit of pressure on the back foot straight away. As regards back to back, yeah, I suppose it's nice for the fans to I suppose get excited and to talk about that for now. But like, it's for ourselves, we can't really, you know, that's at the end of the season and that's an outcome. So like, we don't really look that far ahead. And it's, I know it's a cliche to say that, but the day you do start looking at like that, it's you kind of lose track of what's in the moment.
Yeah, maybe to come at it a slightly different way. Do you think that that Tipperary group have it in them to dominate Alec Kilkenny, to, you know, to dominate the game over a number of years?
I think you can see it from the current crop of players that are there. You know, from the likes of Noel McGrath, Brendan, Paddy, Shamey, guys that have been around a long time from 2009 right up to now. I think they've proven that they're up there with that caliber. And I suppose, having had such a high quality Kilkenny team around for so long, you know, it's hard to see what the guys could have done, but you know, what you could have done is a different story. But I think there is potential. But as I said, this day and age, it's so level out there, like between teams, that you know, it's very hard to predict. And everyone wants to be out on top. Like,
you mentioned the great teams of the past there. Like, even from a non-playing perspective, watching these old games on television over the last couple of months, you'd be really eager just to see sport come back, because it enhances your love for it so much more. Is that the same from a player's perspective, that you are watching the old games on television saying, geez, I'd love to be out there again? And how it really does, it doesn't help the fact that we're all missing hurling and GAA in general so badly.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Like, be watching back, I suppose one game that stuck out was obviously the 2004 Munster final between Waterford and Cork, an absolute classic. And you're kind of watching them and you're saying, you know, in a couple of years I'd like to be sitting down, you know, an old man watching back games that I've played well in or had success in. And it does give you that hunger to be back out there again, and I suppose you know, start enjoying it again. Whenever that'll be, we don't know. If it's over winter, we'll take it. But yeah, it is nice to sit down and watch them games, especially some that you might have played in yourself. And just, you know, brings back a couple of memories.
And when you're watching yourself back, is it self-analysis, or is it like, look at me, this is fantastic, this is brilliant to be able to have nothing to focus on next week and just, I don't know, crack open a can and watch myself back from a few years ago?
Jeez, I don't know about the cans now, but yeah, no, it's nice. It's nice to watch back, and I suppose, yeah, you will be doing a lot of self-analysis, you know, thinking what you could have done better, you know, runs or whatever it might be. But yeah, I suppose you're always critiquing yourself, and when you see yourself, you're kind of thinking of, you know, the different things you could have done. Yeah, definitely.
How close are you guys to your peak physical condition at the moment? Obviously, come June bank holiday, you would have been flying ordinarily. Is there a decision made to actually pull the lever off for a little while, just to ensure that you can peak whenever you get word of championship coming back, or how are you fixed?
Well, I suppose you'd be hoping to peak just before championship, and I suppose until there's a call made, we can't, you know, you can't get into that rhythm and that phase of training. So, as I said, it's just about maintaining what we had prior to lockdown, just keeping them levels up. And you know, I suppose I even bought a bike myself, so I'm doing a fair bit of cycling, trying to do something different, like just to, you know, keep the body fat down and things like that. But as I said, it's a new challenge again for all of us.
Have you been on the phone to Liam Sheedy much? Does he call around to the players?
No, he'd be, you know, he'd be on the phone a lot. I suppose keeping us up to date with what's happening, but Like Liam knows more than anyone, you know, it's he can control the controllables, and for now it's out of our hands. So, you know, he'll just leave it to us and trust that we do the right thing ourselves.
Yeah, and he was saying as well the other week that it would just be such a big lift for everybody around the country were GAA to come back at some point this year, obviously when it's safe to do so and all that. I presume that's something that you would echo as well, that everybody around the country would love to see this. Like, even in a behind-closed-door situation, would you be okay with that as long as the kind of championship goes ahead in a format that keeps all its respect about it?
Yeah, definitely. Like, all, you know, as players, all we want to do is play. But, you know, once it's safe enough to do so, then, you know, we'd all be very happy to do so. Behind closed doors would be a different, you know, obviously very different to championships before. But, like, just to play and to, I suppose, to express skills and play while you can, like, you know, because it's a year that, I know when you're retired and you look back, you'd be like, you're like, you know, I suppose I was in the middle of my career there. I could have done this, could have done that. But I suppose when you're in your, if you're prime, if you like to call it, you know, it's an opportunity kind of gone, but it's the same for everyone, you know. But yeah, if we got the opportunity to play behind closed doors, 100%, you know, you take your hand off for it.
So, Michael, sorry, go on, Adrian.
Sorry, just a bit of chat this morning, Michael, in some of the papers. Jack McCaffrey talking about pay for play, and he's talking about, you know, it'd be detrimental for GAA. I mean, there isn't either not pay for play or pay for play, right? Like, there is obviously some sort of an opportunity to have something that maybe lives in the middle. What are your own thoughts about where all that's headed? Do you believe either in your own playing career or in your own lifetime that we'll see a situation where there is a move towards it?
Well, then you're going to see the GAA turn into a complete business. You know, that'll be, as you say, it would be detrimental to the GAA itself, because, like, are you going to have transfers then between counties? You know, is there going to be loyalties there for players to stay? If you start paying players, you know, it would open a different kind of worms altogether. So, you know, it's hard to see. Obviously, look, you'd love to be played. But look, I think we're looked after well enough so far.
Forgetting about all the, like, the things that go with when you talk about pay for play, it's not a popular thing to talk about in GN. I can imagine from your own point of view as well, in terms of making headlines, but forgetting about all of that stuff, would you like to be like a full-time GA athlete?
Oh, 100%. You'd love to, you know, love to do what you love. You know, as what you've played at for as a kid, to do that full-time would be the dream. I suppose you look at the, like, you know, professional soccer players, you think, you know, if I could train as much in the gym and on the hurling field as they do, you know, it'd probably be a lot more enjoyable. Well, not a lot more enjoyable, but it'd be your whole life, and that's what you want it to be. But, like, we're different in that regard. That, I suppose, we have our training, we come home, we have a different focus again, whether it's work, you know, being in school the next day or whatever it is. I suppose I kind of like that balance about it too. That, you know, you have your distractions too. It's not all the one thing. So, like, even though you might be prepping the whole time for, you know, playing in a hurling championship, on the flip side of it, you're also preparing, you know, to teach a class. So you're also preparing to whatever your career may be. You know, it's nice that way that you can kind of switch off from different focuses and turn your attention to different things.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's going to be an interesting conversation. It's probably going to pop up a couple of more times before the year is out. Just one more plug before we leave you go, Michael. It's the second lap of the Lap of Ireland that you're doing for Pieta House. How can people donate?
Yeah, so anyone who wants to donate can visit the Ballinagh GAA Facebook or Instagram page, where we share the link to a Just Giving page, and that will allow you to donate straight into the cause for Pieta. So currently it's at 3,500. We're just hoping to get as much as we can raise, like, for Pieta, because it's a cause that, you know, it's close to our community. And I think that's why everybody has bought into it so well. You know, I suppose last year was a tough time for a lot of people in the community. And look, it's nice for the GAA club as well that we can give something back. You know, it's everybody, you know, has supported us, so we can, you know, go back and support the community as well and just get everybody involved and allow them to enjoy it. But yeah, any donations would be you know, hugely appreciated by anyone.
Well, good luck with the rest of it, Michael. Great chatting to you. Thanks a million for taking the call.
Thanks, Elliot.
Thanks, guys.
OTB AM.
With Aviva, Ireland's largest insurer, celebrating 10 years of iconic sporting moments at the Aviva Stadium. That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.